Okay, cool. We're recording, and I just have a few things I have to say for the record, a little formality. So today is May 24th, 2020. It is currently 11:45 in the morning. I'm in Cartersville, Georgia. Mimi, where are you? Yeah, where are you?
Wow! Indianapolis, Indiana.
Oh my gosh. Okay, perfect. And so your full name for the record?
Is Melicia Elaine Vonteria Lyle.
Beautiful. I love that.
What is it? Spanish, mm-hmm. Spanish, mm-hmm. Hawaiian, oh, and an ex-husband name.
Excellent. Okay. So I guess if we want to launch into the story first, because I know that's been kind of on the forefront of your mind, and we'll jump right in.
Okay, so I'm going to tell you the stuff that happened before February 28th, okay. Because February 28th will be the second biggest date. Okay. What I will tell you is I might say names and then switch those names to their business acronyms.
Okay.
So if you hear me say different ones, then you'll know, okay, she's talking about this person or this person, is because I'll switch it on purpose. Okay. I don't want to keep saying a name because it's just too much time.
I know.
So we came into Family Promise Shelter in Indianapolis on November the 19th.
Okay.
Something, I don't know, my finances just messed it up, and I ended up calling 211. They were like, hey, we got a place for you, so we go there.
Mm-hmm.
Family Promise, the way they operate is that a bunch of churches get together, and every week they families are transported from the main day center, mm-hmm. to a church that designated that whole week.
Okay.
Or however long they're going to be there. So we get there, we leave the day center by 5:00, go out to wherever church we're supposed to be at, and then at 4:30 the next morning, we're waking up again to get back. Yeah, I know. So when we went in, the issue was your kids e-school. So my kids have been e-schooling. They've been e-schooling for a collective number of years. This isn't new to us. So it's like, okay. They were like, well, you have to do this, this, this. And I'm like, chill. I know what I have to do, and that's okay, right?
Mm-hmm.
We get in. What no one knew is that I was actually the first one sick in my little household.
Mm.
I thought I had the flu.
Yeah.
But in between, I didn't say anything. Because I'm like, okay, let me just take, what is it, Theraflu?
Yeah.
It's Theraflu. I'm like, okay, maybe I'll feel better. But now we have to transfer my daughter's e-school to their next online school here in Indiana.
Okay.
So it's called Hoosier Academy of Indianapolis. I'll probably say Hoosier Academy, right?
Okay.
Or HA, just to let you know.
I'll take notes.
Yeah. And so we're transferring, and by the time we get that around probably in the late part of November, the first day, so it's a hybrid online school. We've never done that before, mm-hmm. where you e-school Monday through Wednesday, and then Thursday and Friday they go all day to a brick and mortar building. Okay. Never done that before. And yeah, I've never heard of a hybrid e-school.
No.
and I'm like, okay, right? Let's try this, girl. So you can, you know, associate. My girls have no issues with socialization, no IEPs, no 504s. Nice. We don't have that. I'm not against any person that does, but we don't have it. And they are testing high anyway. They are reading novels, like big old thick novels. Awesome. I'm like, I see where you get it from. And so we go to this school, and the very first day they are in the school, it was testing. It was the very first day they went. And the teacher was like, do you know they're testing so high? I'm like, yeah, that's normal. Normal. And so now here's where I start getting ill.
Okay. When is that? That's in November?
That's in November. Yeah. So pretty much when I stepped into that shelter, I started getting sick.
Okay.
And so, but it wasn't up to vomiting or anything like that. It was just a fever back and forth, back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
And I would try to get as much rest as possible, but you still have to understand you got this shelter staff that's like bombarding and then this every day, you know, so just push that all together, right?
Right.
So now it is January 6th and I'm sitting up here and I'm looking at my daughter, Phoebe. Mm-hmm. She's 3 minutes older than her sister. So I just want you to know that she, you know, very particular sometimes. And yeah. And Phoebe says, Mama, I don't feel so good. And so she starts throwing up.
Mm.
And so I said, okay, well, I bought some Meclizine. I know about that. That used to be doctor prescribed to pregnant women back in the day. So now it's over the counter.
Interesting.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. And thank God I bought it from Amazon. It was like 100 of them. Yeah, 50 of those packets. I was like, it works for me. And so for 2 days, she's throwing up.
Oh.
2 whole days. And I said, okay. I'm monitoring this. So even though I'm in a shelter, I was the most like ready made people ever. They weren't used to somebody carrying a first aid kit, their own, having their own stuff. They weren't used to that. You were used to somebody that whatever you define what homelessness looks like, right? And so I'd never told them my extensive background and any dealings with education or anything, because I realized that the director hated people that e-schooled. He even used his practicum to try to dissuade me to put them into a brick and mortar school. And so this was all happening from November 19th,
mm-hmm.
you know, up to this point. And he even went so far as to, come in and he would disrupt my daughters doing their e-schooling Monday through Wednesday.
Yeah,
don't say oh my God yet. You're not there.
Okay.
when we get to February 28th and then March the 5th, then you can say oh my God.
Okay.
And so I'm like, I'm trying to keep this like level head, right? Mm. But I'm still like not feeling good. And I haven't even told my girls, but they knew if I'm taking Theraflu, you know, Mama, you okay? I'm like, no, but Phoebe's sick. 2 days later, we were on Ivy Tech's campus. So now I have switched from putting us in the shelter for doing their e-schooling and putting us on Ivy Tech Community College's campus.
Okay.
Because I knew we would get the study time and, you know, all of that. On top of that, my girls play chess. Okay, Mama don't play chess. Right.
Naturally.
Yeah. I'm like, okay. I'll beat you at Sorry at Uno. You know? So they play chess and they play chess with the college students. I thought that was cool.
That's,
you know?
Amazing.
Why not expose them to that as much as I can?
Mm-hmm.
And so I say, okay. Well, we're on Ivy Tech's campus and we were in a classroom. And my daughter Hannah, her twin sister, she says, Mama, I'm dizzy. Immediately, I said, let's go. I just was like, let's go.
Mm-hmm.
We get to IU Methodist Hospital,
mm-hmm.
walk in, and I'm like, okay, what's wrong with my babies? I walked in and I said, well, okay, can you check both of them? Cause this one's been throwing up and this one is, I don't know. She just said she's dizzy. Well, that's all she is. That's what they said. And I said, I'm going to listen to my girls because that's what I do. They said, ma'am, thank you that you walked them in. I said, what are you talking about? 102 degree temperatures.
No.
Walk in.
Wow.
And I'm thinking, did it come from Phoebe? Right? So they tested them for the flu. This was January the 8th. Very specific. They tested them for the flu. Negative. They tested them, what is it, for pneumonia, negative. What I will say that we know now is whatever those, the kids that are coming out, not, and Indiana just said they just got their first case, they're lying because my girls, it's on their charts. They had that red stuff on their face and on their arm, on their legs. I was told that it was an allergy. And I said, we have allergies, but it has never occurred that way, no. You know? And I just kind of looked at the nurses and then I said, look, we're in a shelter and I don't know why we're here this long, right? It just, like, I knew that I need to get them out of that type of situation because it has been prolonged and I don't get it, you know? So, you know, so the next thing, they give my daughters ibuprofen, the big ones, right? Yeah. And the girl, I said, congratulations, you have graduated to 12-year-old medication for a child. Well, you know. And their x-rays came up clear. There was no congestion.
And they said it was just an allergy?
So then I said, okay, is there anything else? Well, they have a viral respiratory infection. I said, okay, all right. What do you think I should do? They prescribed me Zofran. And the moment they said Zofran, I said, why are they getting Zofran? Now, Zofran is the stronger brother to Meclizine.
Okay.
Being that they usually give patients with cancer. It's an anti-nausea. Yes. Yes. I got the document.
Oh, my gosh.
To stop nausea and vomiting. And I'm just looking at them.
Do my children have cancer is what.
Yeah, so, like. Yes. So I'm like, okay, God, I'm tired and we've been here for like 4 hours and yeah. Okay. So I said, all right, what regimen do you need me to put them on? So they gave me a script for Tylenol, ibuprofen, rotating every 4 to 6 hours. Doesn't that, so if you listen to the concoction that I'm about to tell you, it's exactly what they were telling people when they first, you know, when same exact stuff. So it was Tylenol, ibuprofen, Zofran, that's every 4 to 6 hours. Wow. Zofran automatically, and they take allergy medication. So they're not going to be able to do anything. They are zonked out and they are tired. I'm not forcing my girls at all because I'm like, God, heal this. On top of that, they had incontinence, diarrhea. Wow. We had to buy Depends. That's how bad it was.
Wow.
And I got my receipts from when I had to go to the grocery store and go to CVS pharmacy. So I'm gonna just fast forward in time. I'm kind of pissed off now that all of a sudden everybody wants to recognize it. And we had it happen to us in January.
Yeah. You know, I had been thinking about that because my, not as early as January, but in February, she also was on Theraflu. And for like 24 hours, she was asleep. She was just slept all the way through it. I don't think she ever thought to take her temperature, but for like a week, she was just like zonked, like you said, zonked out. And I think too, it's a matter of like the, especially the homeless community and like communities of color and poor communities, like mm-hmm. they just don't look at them ever. And I'm like, you don't see that, you know, we get these numbers of cases and they're like, oh, this is the number of cases. I'm like, that's not a real number. You're not counting the people who like can't come forward. I can't yes. like, and so it just.
And so then when I'm standing there talking to them, mm-hmm. I'm like, okay, God, do you want me to tell them what like I'm in school for and I'm continuously being in school for triple major. Paralegal studies, computer networking and security, and business management.
Wow.
So I haven't even told the shelter staff, you know, I do believe in God. And then, you know, sometimes even like David, King David at one point in time had to act like he was crazy to get out of a bad situation. Sometimes I'm just be quiet. Yeah. And I'm just look at you and just, you could talk crazy. Right. And so I'm like, okay. So they give me this. So you also have to understand too, on the same day, the shelter was trying to kick us out because so Veronica, who is the case manager there, she's calling me in the ER and I'm like, I'm not talking to you. I picked up the phone the third time and I said, I'm not talking to you. My girls are in, we're in the ER. Bye. And that was it. And so what they were kicking us out for was because I didn't, you know, go out and look for a job. I told them what job I wanted and they told me that it was not considered a job. Uber and Lyft is not considered a job. I said, okay.
It pays really well. Like, I don't know.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter because it didn't fit in with a man that wanted control. Mm. You can't deal with a person that's in a shelter that you also see her potential, but she won't tell you all the way. Mm. and I'm like, I'm just let you act the fool. So, and at the same time, we're sick, right? Mm. No one is acknowledging that we were ill. So now I'm like, okay, we got to go to the pharmacy to go get it. The pharmacy, you know, after my daughters went to sleep for 2 hours out of the 4 hours after taking that medication in the hospital, I got them up, you know, and we walked 2 to 3 blocks to the CVS pharmacy. Mm-hmm. I give them the script for the Zofran, waited cause it was a long line. Mm. And what I will say is this, when we went into that room, that ER, everybody was wearing masks. Mm. Everybody. And everybody's like, well, you have the flu. And I'm like, no, we don't. And instinct said, no, this is going to be worse than what you think, mama. And I'm just like, okay, let's not try to think about all that. Let's focus. Mm. And so, it takes an hour for me to get up to the register again and come to find out this. And I wasn't mad at CVS Pharmacy because it wasn't their fault. Mm-hmm. Apparently the Medicaid that they have or that my daughters have does not cover the Zofran. Mm. I said, thank you. My girls, you literally could see them in the waiting chairs sweating. Mm. They're just lifeless in the chair. And I could see Phoebe's breathing being very labored. Mm. And I immediately pulled out that insurance card and called Anthem Pharmacy and I called Anthem Customer Service like, I am not leaving until we get this medication, period. It took 2.5 hours for us to get those meds.
Wow.
I said, that's okay. You know, I mean, it's not right, but it's okay.
Yeah.
You know, and so here's Veronica, the case manager. I call her. I said, we're ready to go back to the church, which at that point was on 21st and Post that we were staying in. Because there's other families, too, that are there. And so she calls for a lift. So did you hear that? Right. The shelter executive director, Mike, who is her boss. They have a business account with Lyft, but says that's not a job.
That's amazing.
Are you just mad?
And they want to kick you out.
Yes.
And I don't understand it. Like, I can't comprehend it.
Oh, no. Well, but don't comprehend yet. Don't comprehend yet. Because he did something much more crazier than that, you know? And so I was just like, so we going to be picked up by a lift that he says no job to take us to the. Okay. So we get in a lift car. We get to the church. And every church. The crazy experience is Mike is getting all these great things because the people at the church are telling me, but they also understand that I am not as dumb as he thinks I'll be here to him because they're telling them, you know, she's like really highly educated. And she just did this. And I'm just kind of like, see, we're not in that shelter for domestic violence. We're not in there for that. We just needed housing. Can you help us get housing? That's all I need to do. Mm-hmm. And so, Lord, we get back to the church, and the church is like, what's going on? At this point, I have bought like 4 boxes of masks. The great news is that CVS is right across the street from Walgreens. So I have bought masks there and bought masks at CVS because I knew at this point, okay, their face needs to be covered. Something mm-hmm. is really wrong. Mm-hmm. The church that we were at, Old Bethel, the older man, Mr. Rick, he was like, what's going on? I said, I don't know, but this is strange. Mm-hmm. And I told him, and he said, well, maybe it's just the flu. I was like, okay. For the next 20 to 28 days, mm-hmm. they couldn't eat. They could not hold down even chicken broth. Wow. I Ubered in. I knew they needed real soup, not just canned soup. You know, it's cool to have Campbell's and all that, right. but sometimes you got to have real homemade soup. Right. So, or at least restaurant made soup. Mm-hmm. So I will Uber that in. Mm-hmm. It was hard as a parent to watch yeah. what happened. That I got to pick these girls up like their body was lifeless. Mm-hmm. That I have to take them to the bathroom, make sure they got showers. And the temperature wouldn't stop. It wouldn't stop. And so, like a few days ago, way before you even emailed me, I finally grieved over the process of everything that happened, right? Because I didn't even have time to do that since we're about to be bombarded again. And so like being sick was not enough, right? And I just, you know, to be able as a mom to just, you know, I just told my girls a few days ago, I thought they were going to die mm-hmm. because they were that ill.
Yeah.
And so I knew if I took them back to the ER that they were going to give me the same diagnosis, right? I knew it was going to be the same. Well, keep going, mom, and blah, blah, blah. And I was just like, okay, all right. By the beginning of February, they go back to school. They cannot. So for almost an entire month, they have not been online. They're gone. And it was weird because you could hear something is in their chest,
yeah.
but you couldn't hear, you could hear congestion, but it wasn't there. Wow. And it's just a different type of breathing.
Yeah.
And so I was just like, okay, but here's the catch. Mike, so that's his name, Mike Chaperon, his staff, him, that's the executive director. Lena and Miss Lena is the aftercare specialist. Miss and she has something that she couldn't get rid of, and she'd been having it since November.
Oh my goodness! And she kept coming to work.
All of the kids in there and the mostly the adults got sick with the same exact stuff.
I bet because she kept coming in.
Yes. Sick too. So did apparently recently. That was the front desk office dude. But all and sick. The ones I know was three staff was sick with the same exact thing.
Wow.
And so I said, okay, y'all passing some stuff. But I'm like OCD clean, so I'm like Lysol, Clark. The staff would laugh at me for wiping down everything with a mask on. I don't care. I'm like,
I'm going to do what I have to.
Yeah, like I'm trying to disinfect as much as possible mm-hmm. because the day center is not a closed area. Mm-hmm. Everything is open. So you can't even lay on a couch and not have it not be cordoned off or a door shut. Because other people can lay in there too. Thereby the passing, you know, of it going. And I'm just like, okay, not for a month. The flu does not last for a month. Nobody's going to ever tell me that the flu normally lasts for an entire month.
Never.
Ever in life.
No.
So I said, okay, I don't care what y'all feel, but it seems like my daughters were coming out of it. So by the beginning of February, around February 2nd, I was monitoring their temperatures, everything. And I said, okay, you can go back to school now. I will make sure they know that you'll be wearing masks.
Mm-hmm.
So understand too that I have been in contact verbally, physically, and email with the school staff mm-hmm. for the entire month of January.
Right.
I even emailed them and said, hey, they're coming back to school. They seem like they're feeling better. I will have them wear a mask. If any of them feel bad, just call me and, I'll come and get them.
Okay.
Well, when they were going to the school they were at, thank you, God, the Ivy Tech that we were at is on 56 and Post. So by Lawrence, is in Lawrence Township, but literally it's not even that. It's like 5 to 7 minutes away from their school on the same street. So that worked, right?
Right.
And so I said, okay, well, like I said, I've been sick the whole time.
Yeah.
Which means I could have exposed everybody else between December and January, right? And I'm like, then I remember the emails from the teachers themselves that their own children were out 2 or 3 weeks. Their own actual key. And I'm just, I keep thinking back to this. And I'm like, okay, here's February. They go back. And I'm just proud that the first 2 days they were in that brick and mortar part, I was like, ooh, they survived.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
Yeah. And Phoebe did vomit once, but the nurse was like, mom, you already gave us the information. I'm like, yeah, you sure you don't want to come? She was like, no, we got them. I'm like, okay. So we're going to fast forward to February the 28th.
Okay.
In between the time my daughters went back to school, now that I am sick,
mm-hmm.
Well, before February 28th, I am at All Souls Unitarian Church, and I was sitting at the table talking, right? And then I just remember me slumping. Mm-hmm. My girls had to shake me. Mama, you okay? And I said, no. So when you're in this shelter, in most shelters, you can't leave your kids by themselves, right? Right. Or even with them. Mm-hmm. Even though my girls know what to do, they know what to do.
Right.
It was my turn.
Mm-hmm.
Go to Community North Hospital. Community North is very important because it's going to come up twice.
Okay.
3 times total. But Community North, I went in there in the ER, and all you could hear is that weird dry cough. Everywhere. It was everywhere in there. And I'm like, what in the heck? And we finally get seen.
Mm-hmm.
I come in with a 101 degree temperature. The diagnosis, I've never had asthma. All of a sudden I have asthma. And then it says, comma, unspecified diagnosis. Now I'm not a medical student. Billable, yes, it comes up as pneumonia.
Mm-hmm.
Billable.
Mm-hmm.
But what in the heck does unspecified organism mean?
Right.
So I'm like, okay, what do you want me to do? Same thing that I was given for Phoebe and Hannah, right? Mm-hmm. And I said, okay, yes. Diarrhea, incontinence. My arms were red. They were all like red everywhere. I'm like, is this an allergy? I'm still kind of questioning it.
Right.
At this point in time, the president of the United States was at a rally in January and was telling people at this rally that COVID-19 was a liberal and democratic hoax, right?
Yeah.
And remember, it was only supposed to happen to people that traveled to China. 1, 2, it changed to old people, right? And then 3, you had to have been a traveler anywhere to expose anybody.
Right.
Well, the only person I knew that had traveled everywhere was Mike.
Wow.
He don't know I know that information because, you know, I'll just leave you right there. But, you know, he doesn't know I know that because I listen very well. And I was just like, okay, maybe, you know, right?
Right.
I'm still not putting two and two together yet because what I'm hearing, you still don't know what COVID-19, the description of it is.
Right.
All the way.
And this is in February before we kind of get to, I mean, it was way before quarantine, but
yes,
before we get even the list of symptoms.
Yes. And so I'm like, okay, yes, you do not, if you ever have it, don't go through. And someone said, well, maybe you didn't have it. Don't tell me what I didn't have. I know what I know. And I know that they did not have testing available to us.
Right.
Right. And not just homeless, just a lot of people.
Right.
They didn't have it.
Right.
And because if the leader of the world is saying, hey, it don't exist, I'm not going to sit there and be lying and be like, yeah, it don't exist. No, something going on because I'm dealing with it.
Yeah.
Same thing. Can't hold down food. And you do lose your taste. All three of us lost our sense of taste.
Yeah.
All three of us did. And so that's nothing new. Like all of a sudden that's coming down the past three, four weeks. I'm like, y'all too late. And so I said, okay. I went through my spiel. It took almost an entire month. Mm. Same thing, kind of the same timeline.
Wow.
And on top of that, I forgot to add in. So not only did we have to take, well, the twins had to take Tylenol, ibuprofen, Zofran, albuterol, and fluticasone. Now add for me, benzonatate, those Tessalon pearls for cough, and naproxen. So all of us is just doped up.
I was going to say, I was like, how can you even move after
that? But the shelter was still expecting that. Yes. Yeah. So wait. So we're sick.
But I haven't gotten to the part where I'm supposed to be angry yet.
No. Oh no. You ain't gonna get angry yet. No. But February 28th, this is when you're gonna, you know, may feel some type of way because I know I sat there and did. And I'm okay. So I get called. I get a phone call from Child Protective Services. And she meets with me. Her name is Emily Smeek. So that's the one. So I must call her CPS, right?
Okay.
So if you hear it again, I'll say CPS for her name.
Okay.
So she meets and I'm asking her, like, why are you meeting with us? Cause this is strange.
Mm-hmm.
And this is February 28th at 8 a.m. And she said, well, I need to talk to your girl. So she has this really, really light tone of voice. I'm thinking that child is a baby. She's like 20 something years old. She a baby. Like, and so I'm, you know, from a life experience, and I said, okay. So we go into one of the rooms. She asked my daughters what happened to them in January. They tell her that they were sick. I said, do you need their medical records? She said, no. I said, can you tell me, I don't even know what this is about, but
yeah.
Are you allowed? And she said, well, we can't tell you anything. I was like, okay. So she's asking the girls all these questions and then she asked them about school and I'm sitting there confused because I'm like, wait, why is she asking them about school? So then she says, well, I have to take a picture of the girls so that they know that I'm here. So apparently now this is this new thing with, and I've never had to deal with them before.
Yeah.
So Child Protective Services, some of them, I don't know all, but this one takes pictures of the kids when they're there, when they meet them to put it into a file.
Okay.
And I said, well, what's going to happen after this? Cause you know, and they had to be at school by 8:30. So we already missing an hour of school.
Mm-hmm.
And she was like, well, I think they're going to close it cause this doesn't sound like a big deal. It's like, no, it's not. And I'm right. I'm sitting there wearing a mask. Like, and she's like, what's wrong? What is going on with you? I said, I'm sick with whatever my girls had.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, oh, okay. Straight over her head. So, And so she leaves, right? And here is Mike. I need to see you in the office. I said, okay. I said, but we gotta go. Can you see me after I drop them off at school? I need to see you at, you know, right now. Okay, fine. I said, so what's going on? So I'm slumped back in the chair with this mask on because I'm like, I'm really tired. I'm exhausted from not talking because I'm really good at that, but I am exhausted because I'm tired and I'm sick and what is going on? He and Veronica, he's sitting at a small table on the right. Veronica is sitting in her swivel chair on the left. And I am sitting to the right ahead of him near the door.
Okay.
He tells me, Lord, all I heard was womp, womp, womp. And then one thing I heard for certain that I had to make sure he said out loud. He said, and when we look at your files, when we have staff meetings, we noticed that you've intentionally been getting sick. I said, come and wait. That's when I sat up. Come again? He said, you've intentionally been getting sick, so that's a pattern. I said, I don't have Munchausen by proxy. I'm sorry for you. And he looked at me like, you didn't know I knew that. See? And I said, really? And I just said it again. And then all of a sudden, I sit back again and just do this. Like, I just started laughing.
I mean, what else can you do? What else can you do in that
situation? Oh, my God.
I can't believe it. And he's the one who got everybody sick.
But remember, it still hasn't been recognized in the States all the way yet.
Right.
We only hear about Seattle and Cali. We don't hear about New York wasn't even thought about.
Yeah, right.
You know, not just yet.
Right.
And so I'm just kind of like, and then he says, and I quote,
oh no.
If you don't find a place by March the 8th, we are going to kick you out of the shelter. Do you know my answer was this? Okay.
Honestly.
Wait a minute. It gets even better.
Oh.
Then he says, and we've heard from different staff from the churches whom we need this assistance from that you've been complaining about your exit dates. And because you've been complaining about it, if we hear it again, we're going to put you in a hotel or a motel until March the 8th. And you can stay there and figure out what you're going to do. Again, like your facial expression, my thing was, in my brain, I'm sitting there saying, how would that be bad?
Sounds pretty good.
I'll be in one place. I could try to feel better, you know. And instead, here's what my answer was. I just stopped. I was like, and then I finally did. And I said, all right. So he leaves abruptly and Veronica's still sitting there. And so now we're going to go into what I found out. That's the other reason I could kind of that weird laugh.
Right?
Around January, let me see, hold on. I went to the doctor January 8th. There was a one of the clients in the shelter said, they called me Mimi. They said, Mimi, Hip is supposed to come over. I said, what the heck is Hip? I don't even know what that is. And she said, she's younger. She said, it's called the Homeless Initiative Program. They help with housing, which is really the only thing I needed to take care of. Yeah. Everything else is going to come because I already knew what my plans were. I'm very detail oriented. And so I said, okay, well, I'll try. Well, I went to, they had a job fair one day and it was around January 12th to the 15th. And I went there and my daughters had to sit in the waiting area with masks on their face, right? Mm-hmm. And I said, okay, I need to be seen by somebody, but oh, they have a job fair. It's not that I was looking for work. It was just like, I don't want to go to nobody's job. And I'm not going to do that. That is not the best.
Right.
And so I go into a case manager for HIP. Her name is Amber Heard. And I said, Miss Amber, I don't know what's going on. I said, but this is happening at Family Promise. And she's like, do you know when you came in? I was like, November the 19th. Do you know when you signed paperwork? I was like, November the 23rd. And she just cussed me this look. She was like, how do you remember all those days? I said, because I do. I don't know how I've always been like that. Yeah. And she says, let me look this up. She's typing. And then this, her whole facial expression totally changes into bad. And already I'm just sitting there like, I found out that Veronica and Mike withheld my coordinated entry survey in order to put into a pool to pick people's names out so they could help with health.
Wow.
That's what happened. So by the time February 28th come, he doesn't know that I know that. And that's why I can laugh at him. Like, it doesn't even matter. You know, like, you talking real crazy. And right, so, right. Yes. And so Veronica, after he leaves, Veronica, that I asked her, I said, are you serious? You all are really trying to say that I intentionally, and my girls and I just intentionally got sick on purpose.
Right.
And he, and she, well, I said, shut up. I just said it out loud.
Question, Veronica.
Yes. And see, I also understood what I had been seeing when I came in there. Mm-hmm. You can't be homeless and be smart. You can't be homeless and someone thinks that you are out to take their job, that you are, like, there's some type of competition going on.
Yeah.
I am there for one issue and one issue only.
Right.
I don't need the assistance for everything else. I'm good. Just get me in. I'm good. That's all I need.
Mm-hmm.
And so I said, okay. This is right after I just talked to CPS, right? So I told the girls, I was like, we gotta get ready to go. Wait a minute. Why did they order a lift for us? And so, as of that day, I said, they gonna be ordering a lift this whole time. Cause I do not like I'm getting, they ain't hear me say that, but my girls did. I was like, nah, they gonna pay for the lift to take us there. They gonna pay for the lift to pick me up. They gonna pay for the lift to take us back. I'm just done with him. Mm-hmm. And so I that was it. And guess what? It happened, right? Mm-hmm. But remember, every time they order a lift, it's not a job.
Right.
Right. on top of that, I received a little bit of child support, been consistent for 15 years. When they dad tried to budge one time, I was like, we ain't gonna go there. Mm-hmm. And he stopped. Right. and I don't play that. So I said, and he was the one, his mom told him to go get it. But got mad that he started it because you told him. Okay. I had a better negotiation and the prosecutor said, why didn't you take her negotiation?
What you doing with a paralegal major? Like, why?
That's why that makes sense, right? And so I'm just sitting there. I'm like, okay, so I know how much we get. However, the Zofran could not be reordered. So I had to pay all hundreds of dollars out of pocket for that. That's okay. That's okay. Because if it was to help as much as I could with my girls, whatever. Yeah. On top of that, because Mike did not like e-schooling, I have had to pay for Lyft and Uber to take my girls back and forth every Thursday and Friday. So obviously that's going to decrease our funds, right?
Right.
And I'm like, I don't know and I don't care. They're still going to be in e-school. That's all.
Yep.
What he doesn't know, and I can tell y'all because I don't have a problem, they used to have their own small business in 2016. We're going to be reopening it in a few more months.
Oh, my gosh. But
yeah. I'm good, right? I'm good because they're good,
mm-hmm.
right? And I also do not live vicariously through my children either because I don't. Yeah. I actually have a 20-year-old son who is going to Pacific Northwest College of the Arts in Portland, Oregon.
Wow.
Yeah. They didn't know. Nobody knew about him. Like, I didn't tell anybody because no one would be able to handle that. They couldn't handle. If you can't handle this type of situation, I'm not going to even trust you with the other stuff.
Right. Because you're not allowed to be homeless and accomplished and help yourself.
Yeah, you're not. And so I said, okay. Now also, I'm a techie. So I've been keeping up with a whole lot of stuff. Like I knew it was SARS-CoV-2 like forever. Right. Right? And so I'm like, okay, what type of this? What is this? The sister? Yeah. Pretty much. It's the sister to SARS.
Yeah, it is.
And so I'm sitting there and you know, like my brain is like, ah, right. So we go back at this point. It is, March the 4th, right? So it's March the 4th. This is a few days after the 28th of February. Right. I am at the Ivy Tech campus downtown and a lady by the name of Miss Diane. I love her. Every time I saw her, we would be up in this area. Crystal House, Crystal Doors, is they teach people how to get their GED, right? Awesome. And different countries and everything. Yeah, I know. Look at the exposure. Yeah. Sitting there, it's like, yes, I love it. I love being around academia and learning and listening to other people's languages. I love that. Like I can be a nerd, but I still can't be a nerd up in that show. Like I can't show it. Even now at the age of 41, I still couldn't show it. Mm-hmm. And so I said, okay, Miss Diane walks up. She's like, Mimi. And she has this little bitty voice. Mimi, can you tell me why your girls are always sleeping? I said, I just took this very heavy sigh and said, we've been living in a shelter since November the 19th. And she's like, what? And she said, well, you don't look homeless. I said, yeah, apparently the definition of homeless is different for everyone. But because she always came and gave me a hug, right? And she always gave us love. I said, but the reason I have them sleep, because it was 7:30 in the morning. So I did say, Miss Diane, you do understand it's 7:30 in the morning. So she didn't know that we had to get up at 4:30. Mike would not let us stay in the day center and catch up on any sleep at all. Wow. So we have sleep deprivation going on, right, on top of illness, right? You got all of that collectively happening. So as she's talking to me, apparently some lady, this random lady comes over and says, nope, 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 nope. And I'm just kind of like, who is this chick? So it was somebody older than me, but I've seen her, but she, right, is. She says, Mimi. All right. She said, Mimi. Yes, ma'am. She said, I need you to talk to me after you're done with Miss Diane. Miss Diane says, no, you go ahead and talk to her. And like I said, I believe in God. So first thing I'm thinking is, Holy Spirit, should I talk to this lady? Because I ain't never heard of her. She done walked up. And I don't know what she's talking about. And Holy Spirit said, yes. Mm-hmm. I said, okay. So she's asking me all these in-depth questions, right, about us being in the shelter. She's on her cell phone walking away back and forth. I don't know what's going on. And then she says, I need you to get a letter that says that the twins are attending that charter school. I said, okay. She said, how long do you think that's going to take? I said, today. She said, okay. I get on the phone and email Miss Lois from Hoosier Academy, HA, and I tell her what was going on. Apparently, she's the admin, and she didn't know that was happening. But if their admin is in a totally different building than the school building itself. And so I said, okay, she sends that to me via email. The lady, whom I still don't know her name, gives me her email address. And now I see, okay, it gotta be that, right?
Right.
It's gotta be that, but I'm not gonna call her that until she tells me what her name is, right? And she never did, right, at that point. And so she brings me, so I forward that email. She brings me the copy of it over. Let me tell you, the exact time was 11:56 a.m. on March the 4th when I received that email that says, hey, these girls attend this school. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, we good. She said this. So she comes back with it and she says, this is what I need you to do. You got 2 hours to get to Day Spring Center. I said, Day Spring won't let online parents or homeschooling parents, because I called them long time ago, like way back in November before I got the Family Promise. Mm-hmm. I said, they said, no, they don't take homeschoolers and e-schoolers. And she said, hold on, let me call, just hold on. I was like, okay. She walked off on the phone, come back. She said, yeah, they will. Make sure you take those two papers and go. I said, okay. So I get the girls packed up, call a Lyft, right? Call a Lyft. and take us to Family Promise. We arrived there. I pull out mostly everything that I could. And so the twins, because they got, you know, this is now, I'm feeling better. It is March the 4th. I'm still kind of woozy a little bit, but I'm like, we got to get up out of this. And so I pull, you know, stuff out of our closet. Lord, they ain't know somebody can keep all that stuff in their closet as much as I did. And it was super organized and everything. And I'm pulling stuff. Well, Mike is there and he says, where are you going? Like that was the actual right. And he didn't know that there was another family that heard him saying like that.
Oh, I bet.
I didn't say nothing. I just kept pulling. I just kept pulling stuff. And so the twins, they're downstairs, and apparently he asked them where they were going. My girl told him, ask my mom. Trained them well.
That's awesome. I love that.
And so I said, okay, well, let's just keep going, right? So I get downstairs to the kitchen and I'm about to pull some stuff out of the kitchen and he starts pacing back and forth in the hallway towards the kitchen and he says, where are you going? Well, at this point, I'm on the phone with the staff at Dayspring. I haven't told him yet, haven't told any staff yet. And he's still trying to overtalk her. And then as a parent, this is what I did. I couldn't even believe I did to a grown man. I went.
Oh, I know that. Oh, I know that. Ooh, that struck fear in my heart just now.
This man by age, about my age. And then he says, oh, so I need to be quiet? I said, yes, you do. I just came. He then stomps off. Like, this is not an over-exaggeration. This dude stomped off. First you're pacing, and now you're stomping off. And so now I'm heading toward the front door in the hallway toward the left, turn left to the front door. And this is what I see. At this big, gigantic conference table in their office, in the front office is just like a gigantic conference table. When I'm standing and I turn around, at the left upper hand corner of the brown desk, Mike is standing here. And diagonally next to him is Deborah, Lena, and Veronica. This is where culture comes into play. He asks, where are you going? And with a soft tone of voice, because really, I really wanted to say something crazy, but you know, the Holy Spirit said, don't do that. Right now, we need to get y'all out of here, right? Mm-hmm. I said, we are going to Dayspring Center. He says, well, they don't take on. I said, we are going to Dayspring Center. Well, you need to get your stuff out today. I watch, and I say it like that because that's the way he did say it. Mm-hmm. And I looked because Mike is a skinny, tall guy, tall white guy. And the other three are black women of different ages. And all three women went just like this. In front of my girl.
They didn't say anything?
And all I could hear was slave master. Like, that's all. Wow. Neither one of them stood up and said that was wrong. You don't belittle people like that. Nothing. I just, you know, it was just like, when are y'all going to stand up and say, you know, this is wrong? Like, you don't do people like this. So I'm not going to wait on that because my Lyft arrived. And so the girls start loading up. I start loading up. And then Mike says, I told you, you need to get your other stuff out today. I said in a nice voice, I will come here on Thursday and Friday. and pick everything up. I see it coming on Thursday.
You're digging yourself a hole, Mike.
Yes.
Quiet.
And so that's March the 4th, right? The next date that's coming up is March the 8th. We have now been 4 days in the Day Spring. CPS shows up at Day Spring. I think that's right. Hold on. Let me make sure, because March the 4th was a Wednesday. I'm looking at my, yep, that was a Wednesday. It will be March 9th, which was a Monday. So it's March 9th, not Sunday. So March 9th, CPS shows up, and that's Emily. And she says, I have been summoned to appear to court because the supervisor has decided to keep my case open. What? On top of that, I have a hip appointment. Thank you, God, right? Like, see, we have to go back. Then remember when I told you there's a lot of moving parts?
Yes.
These are when the parts start moving really badly. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, okay, wait. I have a hip appointment the next day. I cannot miss that. I don't care. I'll miss court. You're not going to have me miss this hip appointment. I already had one February the 6th. Yay! Right? Now I have another. And they didn't know about it. Family Promise didn't know about that one, February 6th. Why am I going to tell you? But now that I know what you've been doing, I ain't going to tell you nothing. And right. Even when I went to that appointment, apparently Mike was following us. He came to that appointment. And then berated and rebuked the case manager, who now no longer works for HIP, just to let you know. Yeah, just because of what he did, right? How you just disappear like that. But anyway, I'm like, I'm not going to miss that. And she was like, well, I'm going to have to talk to my supervisor. You can talk to her all you want to. I'm not going to show up. We have to show up because this is the second one that is major. And so she's like, okay. So she called me later on. My supervisor says that you, I was like, it wasn't gonna matter anyway. But I'm still trying to figure out, okay, what is going on? Cause I don't understand why this is staying open. When the girls they've gotten better. They've been catching up with their schoolwork, you know, as best as we can, all of this such and such. March 12th, we go into juvenile courtroom or court, the building. And 30 minutes to an hour prior to me, apparently this juvenile court, like, puts all the parents that have been accused of whatever into a room where the judge sits down in front of you and tells you what your rights are. People sitting there crying. I'm like, what they crying for? I don't even know why I'm here. Like, and she gives like this overview of everything. And I'm sitting here saying, paralegal stuff. Thank you, God. You know, thank you.
What'd you say?
I said paralegal studies. Thank you, God. I'm taking those. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So I understand. That's why I'm sitting there saying, why are we here? Mm-hmm. I don't even understand all this. This is totally a misunderstanding. But before then, they gave me the documents. Okay. And it's two massive. Well, to me, they were massive packets. But you don't even give me them until we get into the courtroom or get in the court building. They don't give me them. They have me meet up. So in the waiting room, they have me meet up with my girls. They try to separate my girls in the waiting room from me. No. And they would know how to answer anyway. And it's not even about knowing how to answer, but I know what you're doing. And I'm at least to a little bit. So they had me meet with a DCS. So here's the acronyms. Okay. The DCS case manager, her name was Carrie Harris. And then this man, I've never remember his name. I'm sorry. But he was the guardian ad litem for the girls. Why are my girls getting guardian ad litem? Wait a minute. What is going on? Finally, Emily, CPS, walks back to me and hands me this paperwork. And so I'm like, well, how long do I have left to read it? Well, you probably got about 15 minutes to read all of this.
Wow.
And so I'm just like, what in the world? So I get the first packet. I'm like, okay, wait. Okay, that's just court stuff, right? That's just blah, blah, blah. We gave the paperwork to her. This one was the big one. And so I'm flipping through the paperwork, And then that's when I realized what happened. Apparently, according to this petition, the antisocial social worker at HA, who had never been involved with what was going on, and the emails that have been emailed to 4 people at HA to keep in contact with me when these girls were sick,
right,
he filed educational neglect on me.
Wow.
Yes.
Even despite all the emails that you were sending to the teachers?
She never told CPS or DCS. She never told them. Huh?
That you were sending emails. They never knew.
The school never even. So here's the deal. Okay. As I'm reading this, I'm now looking at the 4 to 5 people that not only have I talked to in email, you've been covering this for her. The people that I've talked to, Ms. Demir, the girls' teacher, Ms. Kathleen Stanley, the secretary, Tolentino, the principal, Megan Trom, the attendance officer, Amy Nichols, whom they told me was the social worker at the school, constant contact with her. All of those people I've talked to, the person that filed this, I've never talked to.
Right.
Never. I've never talked to her.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I read, I said, hold on. let me make sure I read this correctly. Mm-hmm. And so I'm going to read just a few things about it. But I don't mind it. I honestly don't care if you get a copy, because this story going to be told the right way. Mm-hmm. And HA will never be able. They're not gonna like me, but that's okay. That's the other part of my definition of my name. So this is what she told them. Now listen to the date of it. On February 6th. Stop right there.
Wait a minute.
Yeah, uh-huh. Go back.
February 2nd. They started coming out of it and you sent them back to school.
Okay, so here's the next. Because, you know, I'm trying to hurry up and read all of this before I go in this courtroom. And I'm reading, I'm like, wait a minute, hold on. On February 6, 2020, the Indiana Department of Children's Services Central Intake Unit received a report of neglect. The victims are listed as Phoebe and Hannah Thomas, 12. The perpetrator on the report was me.
Mm.
The report alleges that Phoebe and Hannah are enrolled in Hoosier Academy. They attend the hybrid school or in class physically on Thursdays and Fridays. The family is currently homeless. Their date at the shelter should have been their end date at the shelter should have been 1/31/2020, and Ms. Lyle was granted and Ms. Lyle was granted an extension based on a contingency plan. What contingency plan? The contingency plan included the children. Remember I said, this is what's in the report. The contingency plan included the children being in a physical school, and Ms. Lyle needed to find employment to support paying for housing. Ms. Lyle is not wanting to engage with the contingency parameters. There are also concerns about the school being a good fit for the children. Transportation is not provided for the 2 in-person days a week. Wait. Miss Lyle takes the children on public transportation. They take, take 3 transfers and walk 45 minutes to get to class. We ain't done. We're not done. Not yet.
Okay.
They now have 14 and a half days of unexcused absences. There was winter break. They are not meeting projected academic progress in class. Ms. Lyle is not engaging the children in schoolwork while they have digital learning days. They are either doing very little or no work. They are required to log in and some days they do and some days they do not.
Okay.
Did you hear anywhere that they were sick?
No.
None.
I mean, so, I just I have no idea where they're getting the transportation situation. Like,
so you're gonna find out where they got it from. Okay. So here's the thing. I'm breaking down all of it. So on the day it said February 6th, I said, wait a minute. Okay, we're gonna stop right there. And then I pulled out my records. And I said, okay, my records, love medical documents, right? I pull out my records. I'm like, wait a minute. That was the, okay. So just exactly what you came up with. I'm like, I've never talked. Who did this? I still don't know who. Mm. I know who wrote this report up, the summary.
Who talked to them? That's
right. And so I say, okay, well, break that down. When was my exit date? January 31st. He said March the 8th. Yeah. Okay, so who got that information, right? The contingency plan? Yeah, no. I don't want to engage. Number one, we were sick.
Right.
So, okay.
And not just sick, like a little cough. I mean, you had the virus.
Yes.
You were bedridden.
Yes.
For a month.
Yes.
So it's not like a little cold.
I know. And I'm like, okay, God, this is bigger than me, right? Mm-hmm. And so I said, well, I don't mind the unexcused days because they were sick. Mm-hmm. But the thing is, I've been in contact with the school. So I don't understand what's going on with that. And so I said, okay, let me just keep going, right? So it says that, okay, they were 161 lessons behind, and which I understood. They were sick an entire month. I mean, that happens. But no one was recognizing that they were making up the schoolwork. We were chipping it off. So when they started feeling better, obviously that makes sense for us to go back and do this stuff.
Right.
And so I was like, okay, here's the other one. Miss Lyle reported Phoebe and Hannah had missed 3.5 weeks of school in January due to being ill. Mm-hmm. This is in the report. Miss Lyle provided the school with documentation on 1-8-2020 from IU Health Emergency Department regarding Phoebe and Hannah's absences. Now we get to who did this. Phoebe and Hannah were then excused.